Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
This is Overdrive on TSN1050.
Brian Hayes and Gord Miller in here. Richard Griffin of the Star will join us in a few moments. Big night for the Blue Jays. Not because of the win-loss column, but because of the debut of a couple of stud prospects. Sean Reed Foley will get the start on the mound tonight for the Jays, and Danny Jansen will start behind the plate as they're kind of potentially a future battery for this team. And certainly Jansen is expected to be a guy who they can lean on in the future, and they're going to need it because Russell Martin, really, he shouldn't be playing every day anyway. He's playing at third base tonight, but his numbers have been off the charts bad this year. And I think that was expected. He's a guy in his mid-30s. Yep. It's a tough position anyway.
He hasn't been a bad signing, though.
First couple of years, he was great.
People mocked that signing at the time. He's been okay.
I don't know if they get to the ALCS without him. I don't think they do in 15
or
16.
They probably don't. So at the end of the day, you say that's probably worth it.
It's one of those deals where, because it's still on the books with the Tulowitzki deal, you sit there and you say, you talk about it more. Right, like no one goes back and talks about that David Price trade. No one's tracking where those prospects are. I don't even know where they are because Price has now moved on, so we don't even talk about David Price anymore.
But Price was worth it.
Price was totally worth it. R.A. Dickey was, in a way, worth it. Yeah. I know that Syndergaard has turned into Syndergaard, but he's had injury problems. But Dickey was money for them for a few years. Gave him a lot of innings, was a consistent guy, a guy you could rely on. But now that he's out, no one talks about R.A. Dickey anymore. Russell Martin gets some heat, takes some heat because of his contract, because it's still in the books, because he's still here. So, understandably, people are going to focus on that signing prior to 2015 a lot more. But it absolutely paid off the first two or three years. And this is what you got to deal with now. He's an aging player who's not, he can't hit, doesn't have the same arm he used to, and is getting paid a lot of money.
What's your interesting story?
Okay, so it's not even a story. All right, we had Steve Sands on from the Golf Channel, and Steve is a big Washington Capitals fan.
Yes.
Right? And obviously he is basking in the glory of his favorite team finally winning a cup, first time in franchise history.
After all that disappointment. After all that disappointment. Heartbreak.
And we're more than 2 months removed from them actually winning the cup, and he still wants to talk about it, right?
Yep.
And we said, you know, if the Leafs end up doing it, Leaf fans are going to be over the top obnoxious but proud and loud and in your face about it for a long time. I don't know when it will stop. I don't know when the statute of limitations kicks in, where it's like you can't continue to boast about your favorite team winning because it's been a year, 2 years, 5 years, right, 10 years, whatever. But I used to throw this out, asking Leaf fans, let me paint this. There's two options for you, okay? So this isn't even a story. It's just a hypothetical. And there are two options for
you. It's kind of a meandering.
Absolutely, it is. It's what we call it.
It's a dissertation.
It's an innings eater in talk radio.
Okay.
All right. This is get your guy in. You're down by 10, and let's get through this. Two options. Let's use a 10-year scope.
Okay.
Could use a 20-year scope. We'll use a 10-year scope.
Could you get to the point here? You're eating too many innings.
All right. Here we go. Option one.
Yes.
10 years of playoff hockey, in the playoffs every year, in a variety of results, but never winning a Stanley Cup.
So over those 10 years, they win 12 series.
Let's say even 15 or 20.
Okay.
Right? Let's say on average, two a year. That's a great run.
That's a good run. That's an unbelievable run.
Or one Stanley Cup and 9 years out of the playoffs.
Ooh.
What are you taking?
One Stanley Cup.
So would I.
Yeah.
I would do it over 20 years.
Sure.
But I got a lot of blowback on that. Like, 10 years might be a little bit too light because people are like, I can get through that. We just got through it. The Leafs went 10 years. Like, it didn't matter. At least you could mix in a cup and say that you got through that.
I wasn't miserable.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't be because you're an objective play-by-play guy.
No, I was voicing the view of a Toronto fan. So right. My life wasn't horrible.
No, exactly. You got through it. You survived. You always look towards the draft, and you can focus on different things. 20 years is different, though. That's one cup and then 19 years of just horrendous, horrendous results. Could you do 20 years compared to 20 straight years of the playoffs like Detroit had and a variety of success outside of the cup?
Because the one thing about Washington was that even with the heartbreak, they were pretty good. Like, they won the President's Trophy. They had Ovi going. They you know, they had all that heartbreak, but they were good. Like they were,
and that's an important distinction.
Yeah.
You're going into every year knowing they're awful. So they win a cup, and the next 9 years...
They're going to be garbage.
You know they are horrendous. Ooh. They're absolutely abysmal, but you got your
cup. Is that going to be a poll question for us now? We should put this up.
Yeah, we can throw that up.
Tyler should do that. Tyler?
Yeah, Tyler, get that going.
Wake up. Can someone nudge Tyler awake?
It's difficult to really explain. Like,
is there a hammock in there? Is he sleeping in the hammock? What's he doing?
It took me 5 minutes to explain it on radio. I'm not sure how you get it into the two options on Twitter, on a Twitter poll, but we'll see. Hunt is the best in the business, so he'll find a way.
He is?
There's anybody that I have
faith in.
Is that
the same guy that produced Leafs Lunch? That Tyler Hunt?
Yeah. Hunt will figure it out.
He was not the best in the business, well, like between
he's
11
up
and 1.
Believe me, I can vouch for him.
Really?
He will find a way to get that poll up.
So, your vote is the one cup.
I would take the one cup.
And 10 years of...
Because I've been through 10 years of the desert where the Leafs were a joke every single year.
I can do that.
I've been through that.
Hey, I've biked to work. I can do that.
Give me a cup. You know, I may not say that if I was like 15 years old and just getting into it. I may be like, hey, wait a minute. I'd rather... But I've been a Leaf fan long enough where I've been through all the... The only thing I care about is them actually winning a Stanley Cup now. Like, they have been an off-season team for the majority of my life. And what I mean by that is you put your GM hat on and you're like, please hire the right coach.
Yeah.
Please make the right pick. Please sign the right guy. Please pull off a blockbuster trade where you actually come out on top. Including this past season, where, yeah, it's been fun to watch them the past 2 years. But when you think of the monumental moments of the past 2 years, I think you still harken back to when they won the lottery. Okay. That means you had Matthews. Probably the Tavares signing is number two. Like, the top memories of the past 2.5 years for the Leafs. Would you go lottery, Tavares? Maybe Matthews, four goals opening night.
I think, four goals opening night. I think the overtime win over Washington.
Game two, the Kapanen and double overtime.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
That's right up there, right?
Maybe even game six against the Caps where Matthews scored to make it 1-0. Now, they lost that game in the series after that, but that was a great moment. Against Boston, I can't think of that one moment. None of the games went to overtime.
No. I think, it's funny how it goes, because when you get good, the appetite stays, right? You want to win more. So where do they win in the 10 years? Where do they win the cup? Like, do they win the cup, then they're bad for 9 years? Or are they bad for five, win the cup, bad for four more?
Yeah.
Are they bad for nine, then win the cup?
Like, I think it's probably, for argument's sake, that first year.
So they win.
You win, and get immediate gratification.
And then they stink for 9 years.
Yeah.
I think you'd take that.
I think I would, too.
I think you'd take
that. I think Leaf fans would, too. Now, after a couple of years, they'd be demanding a revote, and they'd want to go over it again, and you'd be miserable. But at least you got to experience something you've never experienced. Like, that's what Steve Sands finally experienced.
Oh, he's over. Because you know what it does? It justifies all the years that you stood by them.
Right. Well, and that's the truth about the Leafs. You talked about that earlier, that even when they were awful, they sold out, and their TV ratings stayed pretty consistent, and people stayed on the bandwagon. This, I don't think there will be bandwagon jumpers. Like, do people jump on the Maple Leaf bandwagon? I don't think so.
I think there's some who do. I mean,
really?
There's people that jump on every bandwagon. They don't watch every game during the year, but they get the playoffs. My father-in-law is 75 years old. He lives in Vancouver. He's home every day by 4 on a Leaf game. Like, he leaves at 4 to get there in time. Whatever he's doing, like, he books golf games, whatever else, to get there to watch the Leaf games. They won the cup in his lifetime, obviously, several times in his lifetime. He grabbed a puck off the ice when Dave Keon scored in overtime against Montreal in 62. He jumped over the boards and grabbed the puck out of the net. It was on the front page of the Toronto Star the next day.
No way.
He loves the Leafs. He was called in the office, and they said, young Mr. Bowen, that's not how we behave at this firm. And back in the day.
Yeah.
And, but, like, he, it would justify all those years of investment he went through, all the Ballard stuff and all the rottenness and all the, right?
Right.
For sure.
Oh, absolutely. That's the beauty of being a fan of a bad team, is that you have hope that it's all going to pay off in the end.
Because someday...
it's going to be worth it.
But I wonder if there's not so much in Toronto, because I think... But in Chicago, them winning kind of took some of the fun out of being a Cubs fan.
I think there will be a part of that with Toronto if the Leafs win.
Because I don't think so.
I do, because I think it will put people in a different state of mind and they, I'm not sure how people are gonna react, or how, I don't know if they're gonna be comfortable with being the champions, like being a fan of a really good team, because they're really good right now. Yet there are still gonna be doubters,
right? For sure.
What I would expect, and this may have happened in Chicago because I think it was instinct. What I would expect is the Leafs will win the Cup, and the next day people say, well, they got to get a defenseman if they want to win again next year.
Well,
that'll
happen. But don't forget, too, when you look at Washington, you think about, you know, Easter Sunday, Pat LaFontaine, and the 3-1 blown leads, and the Peter Nedved goal, and the Joffrey Lupo goal in Game 7 overtime, and all the horrible things that have happened to them. You think about the Cubs, you think about blowing the lead against the Padres, and, the, you know, you think about Bartman, you think about all the crap that's gone on all those years for them. What's the Leafs haven't had really? Have they?
Well, Game 7 against Boston.
Game seven against L.A. in '93.
Well, Game 6.
Game 6, yeah.
High stick, your boy.
Yeah.
Should have been kicked out of the league for that.
Who's my boy?
Gretzky.
Oh, he's my boy.
Hlinka.
Gretzky Hlinka.
That's
the Hlinka Gretzky.
Or whatever it is. He should have been kicked out of the league.
Out of the league.
Yes.
He should have been kicked out of the league for that.
It was a gutless play.
Really?
Wayne Hlinka Gretzky should have been penalized for that.
They've been kicked out of the league. Okay.
Yes.
You're taking that to another level.
Well, my point being is Game 6 had meaning, too. It was heartbreaking.
So there is some heartbreak.
Yeah.
For sure. And I think that.
And there's still time for more heartbreak. Well, like, there's still a lot of time here for more heartbreak.
But, Brian, chances are there will be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. And the Jays went through it, right? All the stuff the Jays went through in the 80s, right?
Mm-hmm.
All those, you know, the collapse down the stretch when Detroit caught them, the ALCS losses, I mean, all that.
Eventually they got there.
That's all part of the process.
Yeah, and that's what's disappointing about what's going on here with the current incarnation of the Blue Jays is they had the build-up in 15 and 16, and now they're on their way down, and it feels like they're going to keep going. Here's Richard Griffin of the Toronto Star. What's up, Rich?
Hey, Brian. Hey, Gord.
So, significance for you of Sean Reed Foley going tonight and Danny Jansen going tonight. How, I know it's not Vladdy and Bo Bichette, but this means something, right?
Yeah, and I'm especially proud of myself. Today I wrote a notes column about 1,500 words. I didn't mention Vlad once.
Well done.
And that's pretty impressive. But, you know, it's not just Vlad Guerrero Jr. It's guys like Sean Reed Foley and Danny Jansen. And I think that it just demonstrates that Blue Jays management is now turning and looking to the future. I mean, they've already decided that the attendance isn't going to bounce back this year. They're down more in attendance per game than any other team in Major League Baseball, and that's going to remain that way. I mean, it's not going to get any better, but the interest heading into 2019 is what they need to worry about now. And Sean Reed Foley is a kid, you know, everybody says he had a down year in 2017, but he was 22 years old at the time, just turned 23, and he's part of the future. He was a high school kid, and you have to fail to succeed. And he failed last year, and now he's succeeding this year, and it'll be very interesting for me to watch him tonight in Kansas City, especially with somebody who's worked with him before, and Danny Jansen. And Danny Jansen being behind the plate is another shift, because now Russ Martin is going to be the highest paid utility player in baseball in 2019, maybe in Major League history. $20 million to back up, to be a third string catcher and back up at third base and middle infield. It's going to be very impressive. Unless somebody wants to take him as a catcher, and the Jays could pay half of that for 2019, but right now, if he stays with the Jays, that's going to be his role.
Well, I'm expecting those conversations to get louder and louder, because the idea that fans want to see Rodgers spend more money is not a new idea. I mean, it's been a part of the conversation in the city ever since they bought the team, and Russell Martin is one guy that comes to mind. Tulowitzki, who knows what his story is, but Kendrys Morales is the next one that's most obvious to me. He's on the books for another year at, I believe, $11 million. Why would you ever bring him back? Like, why not just find a way to unload it? And if you have to eat it, eat the money. Get rid of him.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's proud of the fact that Rodgers, not everybody, I mean, ownership is proud of it. It's the second highest team payroll that the Blue Jays have ever had since 1977. But the bottom line is that $63 million hasn't played very much this year. And if they have, like Russ Martin, hasn't played very well, That's $20 million. Tulo, $20 million. $23 million for Josh Donaldson. And so you take that off, and they're sort of middle of the pack, bottom middle of the pack. So you can't really brag on the fact that they're not a cheap front office. They're not a cheap ownership. They just misspent. And some of that goes back, a lot of that goes back to Alex Anthopoulos. But we've discussed that before, Brian, is that, you know, would you trade 2 years going to the ALCS for having to eat that money right now? And I say most fans would say no.
So, Richard, congratulations on not writing about him in your notes column today. Let me ask about Vlad Guerrero. would there be any thought to making him a September call-up?
Oh, absolutely. There should be. And I think that even though they didn't want to do it previously, I mean, it seemed to me in talking with Ross Atkins that that wasn't part of the plan, that the plan was to let him sit down and maintain that seventh year of control by only bringing him up at the end of April in 2019. But that's a disservice to fans. That's a disservice to the organization. And that's disrespect for the game of baseball. And to me, once he comes to the major leagues, he's not going to be up and down. So you know you're only going to have him for the 6 years, and he's going to be a free agent at the age of 25 or 26, which is he might become the highest paid free agent player ever. But take advantage of the time that you do have him. Take advantage of Vlad Guerrero and the name and the fact that there's more interest in the Buffalo Bisons than there is in the Toronto Blue Jays at this moment from fans that live between Rogers Center and Buffalo. I mean, there's more interest in Vlad than there is in the actual Jays. So don't lose that. Don't leave him down there till the end of April while you bring up other guys like Danny Jansen and Shaun Foley. You have to bring up Vlad Guerrero on September 1st and show him what it's like life in the big leagues. I know that he was with his dad, but he was always looking for the ice cream machine back in those days. And like, show him the environment and have him ready to go on opening day of 2019 and be an integral part of a rebuild.
With Richard Griffin of the Star, I do wonder if the Gibbons conversation factors into that, though. Like, I'll give Gibbons some credit. You know, he spoke publicly, and he finally went on the record and said, I don't think I'm going to be here long-term. And he said, quite frankly, I don't really want to be here if it's going to be a full-blown rebuild. And it certainly appears like that's going to be the case. But that might be the issue behind the scenes, is how Gibbons is approaching the final 45 games. And if you've got a manager who's willing to say that on the record, albeit he was posed the question, but, you know, if a player said that, he'd be ripped. Gibbons isn't going to get that type of treatment.
Well, I think in a way that if Gibbons is already conceding that 2019, if it's a rebuild, which it is, he doesn't want to be a part of a long-term rebuild. He thinks the team or the organization should have the right to choose a manager going into that that's going to be there the entire time. I think that's a perfect manager to have a September roster of young kids pointing forward, because he's not trying to impress anybody. He's not trying to win every game by bringing in a veteran reliever in a situation where you might have a chance to see what a young guy could do, because he's already conceding. And I believe that behind the scenes there is an agreement that at the end of the season he's done. He's agreed to it, so it's not going to be a surprise, it's not going to be a shock, it's not going to be a firing. It's going to be a mutual parting of ways wherein he gets paid for 2019 with a golden parachute in a way. And that might be the best situation to bring a Vlad Guerrero up.
With Richard Griffin, when you look at the roster tonight, albeit with some injuries and again with some guys who are on the payroll that may not be playing tonight, Tulowitzki case in point, but I think I'm trying to get a read on what this roster could look like next season. And Granderson won't be back. I don't see Travis as a part of the future. I think they'll pick up the option for Smoke. Grichuk will stick around. Morales, if they're stuck with him, he'll be here. Martin, if they're stuck with him, they'll be here. Diaz, I guess they might bring back. Pilar, I'm not sure. I mean, how much turnover are you expecting from today to opening day next year?
Well, I could see. I mean, a lot of those players you pointed out are bang on. You're correct. You know, Devin Travis has maybe earned a spot in terms of at least getting a good return. If it's not, he's going to be cut loose. If somebody else wants him, they can have him. But he's had a good, you know, when he's healthy, he's been good. But he's not someone that you build around for a future winner. If Russ Martin is going to be a backup player, that means you can get rid of Yan-Hervis Solarte, who has been running the bases like Pepe Le Pew on a date. And I think that Aledmys Diaz was always just supposed to be a backup middle infielder for Troy Tulowitzki, and then Tulo went down with a double bone spurs. He's on the books for one more year. We'll see if he comes back. But 2019 to me is a rebuild where you look and see where the holes are that need to be filled. And if you feel like you can, in 2020, compete by filling in some of those holes, then you do it. But you don't fill in the holes in the off season between 2018 and 2019 because you don't know where those holes are going to be that are going to make you a contender. But all those names that you pointed out, I think Grichuk is going to be a part of the future. Teoscar, maybe even if he only becomes a DH because he's not a very good outfielder. Kevin Pillar needs to be moved. Kendrys Morales needs to be moved. Russell Martin, if somebody wanted him to work his magic with a young pitching staff, the Jays would be willing to pay down half of that money because then they'd be saving half of that money. So Lourdes Gurriel Jr., I think, surprised a lot of people. Didn't surprise me because he's always had a live bat. He's just not a very good shortstop at this point and might have to move to a corner outfield position. But there's a lot of talent, and there's a lot of young pitching talent that's about 2020 away. So I think next year they're just going to be checking out the roster, looking to see where the holes are, but they can't find that if they bring back guys like Kendrys Morales. They can't see what they need if they bring back guys like Kendrys Morales, and so it'll be interesting.
So, Richard, I get what you're saying, and you talk about guys that are probably going to go out the door. The one thing is, if you're going to have all these young kids next year, don't they need some veteran protection around them? Don't they need some guys to, you know, some old hands to guide them through? Like, do you want Vlady Guerrero batting third in your lineup with no one in front of him and no one behind him?
I think that the guy maybe that they're relying on is Russell Martin because, you know, there's not going to be a big market for him in the offseason. So they might have to end up having that super overpaid utility guy, but with another role, with a leadership role in the clubhouse. And that might be a reason to go out and sign somebody who's a more of a veteran piece as a backup player, as a bench player, like when they had Brett Laurie and they brought in Mark DeRosa. But it's not a guy who's going to be a frontline player. And you look at the Tampa Bay Rays, they started five infielders, including the catcher, that were all rookies the other day, and they beat the Jays. That might have had something to do with the decision to go with the kid today behind the plate and the kid today on the mound. Because if you can't beat a team that's doing what you might want to do in 2019, then why not do it yourself? You know, it's a tough division in 2019 because you've still got the Red Sox and you've still got the Yankees. So I think that without veteran leadership, and if it's only Russell Martin, that they could do it, find out what they need, and then go from there.
Richard, what's the Chicago and Houston model? What did they do when they tore the thing down? What did they just throw? Did they have all their kids together, or did they sign some sort of bridge free agents to kind of guide them through? What was their model?
Well, Houston, I mean, we're talking about a Blue Jays team that's only going to lose, or that is on pace to win 73 games, and that's not like a total disaster. Not like the Detroit Tigers in 04 and 02, 03, 04, 05, when they lost 120 games and then moved it up to losing 90 games, and then all of a sudden went from losing 90 to go into the World Series in 2006. You know, that's the sort of rebuild that we're talking about with the Blue Jays, where Dave Dombrowski in Detroit spent 2 years figuring out what pieces he needed to take the next step. He went and got Jim Leland and fired Alan Trammell and then filled in with some free agents and had some rookies and did it. The Houston model is, you know, they built a farm system after having some disastrous years in a row, more than winning 73 games, they were losing 90 to 100 games, and they built through the farm system. The Jays farm system is ranked now number 3 overall in baseball. So, you know, they're sort of modeling themselves after several of those teams that came back quickly. And I think that 2020, at the latest 2021, is what they're looking at to contend.
Always appreciate it. Thank you, Griff.
Okay, Brian, anytime.
Thanks, Richard Griffin of the Toronto Star.
Always wonder what he thinks. Actually, well, ask him one of these days about, you know, he was there for Vladdy in Montreal, and just, you know, and now to see his son be the...
And be touted even more so than Vladdy was.
Which is rare, right? I mean, Brett Hull, Bobby Hull, that sort of thing, but it is...
Mm. Oh, this kid, what he's doing, I mean, he's hit home runs in 4 straight games. He's batting close to .400 in AAA. He's got an OPS up over .1200 in AAA. It's this guy, he being in the minors is an insult to him. But the Jays, and I know Griff has made this case for quite some time, he thinks he has to come up in September.
Yeah,
I don't think he's going to.
Do you think he should, though?
I don't think it's necessary to give him that type of experience right now. I think this kid is so good. He's such a beast. It's difficult to be patient. As a fan, I'd love to see him up here and play. But I can understand if the front office thinks, we've gone this far with being patient, why won't we just wait collectively another month and a half of baseball? Which means the rest of this season and then the first few weeks of the 2019 season.
I'd like him to get a taste this year. Let him be in the big leagues for 3-4 weeks.
I don't think it's going to change anything. Like what? I don't see the carryover to next year.
Because when he comes in next year, he's been in the big leagues. He's faced big league pitchers.
This kid's so good, though.
Yeah.
You could send him anywhere. And I think when he shows up next year, he's still going to be money and dominant. I don't think it's a win or lose. I think it can be a win-win. Both options can work for you. I just think if it's all about control and it's all about a contractual scenario, because this guy was ready to play up here 3 months ago.
Yeah.
Like if it was just about experience, bring him up 3 months ago when he was hitting .400 in AA, and you knew he was a big league hitter at that point.
How about Rich talking about the fact, well, in 6 years he'll be the highest paid free agent in the history of baseball?
How about that for an expectation?
Already.
Yeah. But
so enjoy the 6 years of Vladdy Jr. because...
Well, if this team doesn't get it together or ownership isn't willing to pay down the road, who knows where he's going to be. But that's why I think they're talking about team control, is that at least maybe you can push it off a little bit.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's... Yeah.
And that's what people don't want to hear because it's corporate speak. It's, patient. It's a long game. But I think it's the smart move.
If you've bought tickets in advance for this year... Like, I always think about this, Brian, when a team gets rid of all its players at the trade deadline in the NHL. You know, you're a season ticket holder. So what?
You're in. You know that going in, though. You know that there's a gamble. The team, you could have high expectations, and they could be awful. Everything just breaks the wrong way. Like, look at the Leafs this year. This is the most hype season maybe of my lifetime. Real close to it.
Oh, no. Come on.
Real close
after
to
2003.
It.
Sorry, after 93, after 2000,
man.
When they went to the conference final in 2000.
Maybe, but the Tavares signing, because they're a better team than those teams on paper. Like, after 93, I was young at the time. I know there was a lot of hype. They won 10 games to start the next season, which was awesome. But they were not built as, like, the best team in the league. This Leaf team, you can look at it and say this is the most talented team they've had on paper in a long, long time.
Fair enough.
But I hear you. You can make a case for 93, 94, 2000, 2001, the early 2000s in general. Maybe even coming off that playoff season in 2012 where they got their hearts broken against Boston. They signed Clarkson that summer. There was a lot of hype.
Yeah, you're thinking.
But Tavares is on a different level. Like
Tavares.
Whatever. A very different level.
What do you mean, whatever? He's going to be here for 7 more years.
But people know who you're talking about, though. Like, I generally say Tavares, but it doesn't really matter. If you say Tavares, we interviewed him. You asked him, what is it? And he said, I don't care. So why do you care? Why do you personally care if doesn't care and
because,
it's his name?
Because it bugs you.
Yeah, it does bug me. All right, we've got a great giveaway to get to. We'll tell you about it, and we'll get back into the Tiger Effect next. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline later in the hour. This is a giveaway that the Grit Grinders are going to be fired up about.
What? I think they're going to try to enter.
Well, they should.
That's the problem. And they're not eligible, right?
Well, they can be.
What?
The Chevrolet Silverado 250 is back. It's August 24th through the 26th at the Canadian Tire Motorsport Park. And if you listen to Overdrive all week for the chance to win a four-pack of weekend super tickets, including parking and paddock access valued at over $250. You can get all the details at tsn1050.ca. And the phone lines are open right now, 416-870-1050, 416-870-1050. A month from today is a big day. Yes, something opens, quote unquote, a month from today. What in the Toronto sports scene begins a month from today? The first person with that answer at 416-870-1050 picks up a four-pack of tickets to the Chevrolet Silverado 250. 416-870-1050. Tiger Woods, I'm trying to think of a way to define his status in the sporting world and how I feel about the idea that he's quote-unquote back. Because my initial reaction was, this is Tiger Woods we're talking about, not just some flunky who's out there playing and it's a fun story. We don't celebrate second place for Tiger Woods. Tiger wins. That's who Tiger Woods is, and that's who he was. But I have to admit, I've kind of changed my reaction to that definition because of what's happened with him over the past 8 or 9 years. But also, I think I am defining the fact that he's back through the prism of my own experience. What I mean by that is, I had to watch yesterday.
Yeah.
So my reaction to him on the course proves to me that I am reacting as if he's back, because I have to see him, because I genuinely thought he was going to win yesterday. And it felt to me like if he found a way to win and complete that comeback, that would have been one of the rare "where were you in sports" moments.
Yeah. And you think about, you know, a couple years ago, Tom Watson contending at the Open Championship, Greg Norman a few years ago. That's the Open Championship, which, you know, is shorter golf courses. It's more about the short game. He was playing a championship golf course with a brutal layout against the best players in the world and hanging there with him. You know, we asked Steven Sands about it. I do think this is a double-edged sword for golf. What does it say for your sport when the most electrifying story in your game is a guy who's going to be 43 years old in December who hasn't won a major in 10 years? So
I think it speaks to the significance of Tiger. I don't think it's about the sport.
So in that case, golf's going to be fine.
Because
Koepka and Dustin Johnson and Jordan Spieth.
But Tiger's going to keep playing. If he stays healthy, he's going to play for another 5, 6, right, 7 years. So I don't think it's an immediate conversation.
Okay.
I think maybe we lost sight of the power of Tiger, the brand that is Tiger.
He is a player who transcends his sport.
His effect is unlike any other effect.
So you could argue that he's the most famous golfer of all time.
I don't think you can argue. I don't think it's an argument.
Right. So what do we say about Pele? What do we say about Ali? They were among the most recognized people in the world. Tiger Woods might have been one of the most recognized people on the planet. And the fact is, people don't play golf in large parts of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he was still that famous.
Well,
I'm telling you, seeing him on the grounds at St. Andrews in 2000 was one of the most extraordinary. I was in Paris when the French won the World Cup in 98. Like, I've seen lots of celebrations and scenes. This was unbelievable. I mean, the passion that people had for him.
And it felt that way yesterday, and he didn't win.
Right.
I mean, and that, again, I think speaks to the brand that is Tiger, the importance of Tiger, how people gravitate to Tiger. We all know about the ratings. The ratings are through the roof, as you knew they would be, because he was competing. And that Tiger roar that we've been talking about throughout the afternoon, I'm not sure if there's a comparison in sports. You know, maybe a popular boxer back in the day fighting back, where you knew, okay, I'm focused here, it's the 10th round, he's got to do something, and he throws a big hook, and it's like it's on, and you can feel it through the screen. Maybe a legendary batter in a big moment, because time kind of stops.
Right.
Right? Like, it's not conducive in hockey necessarily, or in basketball. Football, to an extent, with quarterbacks. To an extent. Like, two-minute drills, close game, Brady's got the ball, all eyes are on him, let's see what happens. But Tiger hitting big shots, hitting big putts.
It was amazing. Like I was at a barbecue yesterday, and I couldn't get away from his shots.
And it was incredible because, and I kind of laugh because I get complaints from people, and I have for a long time. Why do they show all of Tiger Woods so much now, especially when he's not in contention? Because he's like, my point is, if you're on the golf course, Tiger Woods 15 shots out still has the biggest gallery.
And I believe at home too. Like you want to see it's two separate tournaments. It's Tiger and what he's doing and then everybody else. To put it into perspective, yesterday again I was at a buddy's place. They just bought a new house. We went over to their place, a few couples, four different kids running around. He had a great setup, TV outside. It was mint. It was perfect.
Mint.
I haven't used that word in a long time,
it. It's a good word.
I'm bringing it back.
Yeah.
Bringing that one back. I can say this definitively. I don't remember seeing Brooks Koepka take a shot. I don't remember seeing him take a shot because I perfected the horse-eyeing of when Tiger's up. Tiger hits, I'm watching. After he hits, back with the kids, back with the party. Timing it perfectly, I'm like, he should have walked up to the green. He's probably overseeing his putt. I got to go back and watch him again. I didn't care to see Koepka, who won the tournament.
Right.
And so, I didn't care to see him.
And the fact is, so the PGA Championship was going to be in St. Louis, I want to say 12, 13 years ago, when Tiger first had his back problems and had to withdraw. 15,000 people refunded their tickets. And the fact of the matter is, and people hate it when I say this, but it's true. For the last 20 years, there have been two kinds of golf tournaments. The kind that Tiger's in contention for and the kind he's not. And the kind he's in contention for are major league sports events.
They're
mint. And the other ones aren't. And yeah. I'm sorry to say it. I'm not dissing golf or golfers.
No, it's just a reality.
The fact is, when he's in contention in a golf tournament, first of all, when he plays in a tournament, so there's two kinds of tournaments, the ones he plays in and the ones he doesn't. So,
But within the ones he plays in, when he's contending.
When he's contending, it's a must-watch.
And that's why...
And the TV numbers tell it. And if you don't understand that,
You're being intentionally ignorant. Like, right. That's what you're a hater of the fact that Tiger sucks up all the oxygen. And there's a lot of people out there that have that feeling.
But by the way, no one who was playing yesterday would complain. What Tiger Woods has done for golf, I remember a player telling me every player on this tour should kiss him on the lips. Because the purse is quadrupled.
And you know what? Like, and the point has been made over the past 24 hours, even over the past couple of years. Now Tiger is a victim of what he represented. And by that I mean, you look at a guy like Koepka, who's tall, beast-like, cut.
Oh.
Cut. Like, I was watching highlights yesterday with my wife, and she's like, wow, that guy's really in shape. Because she remembers...
and you're sitting there flexing at the...
And I'm just a slob on the couch. I'm like, well, not really. But
I hear he's mean.
There were guys like Jack Nicklaus did not look cut.
Fat Jack was a better golfer. Now, Arnold Palmer was.
Sure, but that's way back. Yeah, I'm talking about like 80s and 90s. Yeah. You think of Stadler, guys. You know, and there were guys like Player and Norman who were cut. But now, like, Dustin Johnson is 6'3 and cut.
And does yoga like 2 hours a day.
Koepka's cut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Spieth is thin. Like, these guys are in prime shape.
So when I started covering sports, curlers and golfers were fat. Now they're ripped.
Why do curlers have to be ripped, though? They don't have to be ripped.
Sweeping, man.
They're just doing it because they want to be in the game. I get it.
They want to be buff in their tight shirts.
I'm not going to look down on anybody that, you know, wants to be in shape or whatever, but curling does not... You don't have to be in good shape. You don't. There's no competitive edge to being in shape
in
curling.
Now, back in the day, they used to smoke on the ice. Like, there were ashtrays.
They used to golf. They used to smoke on the course.
Well, Roger Maltby still does. I think Maltby still, like, he's walking around for NBC. I think he still smokes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He used to put his cigarette down, hit his drive, pick it back up.
Yeah. Well, I think that's... Nicklaus used to smoke and he quit because I think he saw himself on TV smoking and he said, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, Nicklaus used to really smoke. Like, that's when you're talking like 18 darts around.
Well, Palmer smoked.
Well, everybody smoked.
But the aura around these guys, there's a select few people who are bigger than their sport. And, you know, Gretzky was in Edmonton last week at this tournament we were at, and, like, everyone, when he walks into a room, there's just this thing, right?
Hlinka Gretzky?
At the Hlinka Gretzky.
Wayne Hlinka Gretzky.
I will say, we went to a local establishment after a game, and the girl came out and said, sorry, guys, we've given last call. And I said, are you sure? He's like, yeah, I'm sure. So we turned and walked out,
and the manager came running after us and said, "No, you guys, come on in." We're like, "No, sorry, we're."
She's a woman of principle.
She had no idea who he was.
Yeah, but maybe she just had better things to do.
Maybe.
Like, with all due respect to Hlinka Gretzky, if she wants to get out of there.
Could you stop calling him Hlinka Gretzky?
Wayne Hlinka Gretzky. That's his new name.
You know what? You hate him for 93.
Yeah, game
you
six.
Do. You hate him. He didn't make the call.
Well, he didn't have to light up the gardens in game seven either. Could have passed on that. He grew up a Leaf fan. Should have thrown that game. Shoeless Joe.
Just after he's kicked out of the league for life.
Right. Where's Arnold Rothstein when you need him? I needed that game to be thrown in game seven of the Gardens back in 93. Gretzky's got morals, I guess, or integrity. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine and recap whatever's been happening this afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the baseball board tonight, the Battle of New York, I'm on the Yankees, home plus. The Battle of Ohio, I'm on Cleveland, road plus in Cincinnati. And under the numbers, Seattle, Oakland tonight, throw down 20, you can score 113. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio. Get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. Jays in Kansas City tonight. Sean Reed Foley throwing to Danny Jansen. This is a look into the future, so yeah. I'm looking forward to that tonight. Should be good.
Yeah. I got to hustle home.
You're flying. Take care of yourself tonight.
I will.
I'm worried about you. Are you going to make it here tomorrow at 4 or what?
I'll be here.
All right. Good stuff, Cord.
I'll get here. Don't you worry. I look forward to it. You were saucy today.
I usually am saucy on a Monday. Generally speaking, I'm very saucy. I'll try to de-sauce tomorrow.
Mint. Be mint tomorrow.
I'm going to bring
mint.
Heat tomorrow and be mint.
Are you?
Yeah. Okay. Mint. It'll be a mint Tuesday afternoon. You ready for that?
I'm all set, man.
All right, buddy.
You know what? Bring it on.
We'll catch you tomorrow.
Maybe we'll get Hlinka Gretzky on.
Wayne Hlinka Gretzky?
You got to stop doing
it. Seriously.
You can't.
Why not?
You can't make fun of him.
I'm not. That's the name of the tournament. I'm giving a shout-out to the tourney.
Now, that was insincere. That was not genuine. That was insincere. What time are we off here? 54?
Yeah, basically. Okay, we got to go.
We got to go.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
There's Gord Miller. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m. We'll chat then.